compassion versus principles. As far as your very straightforward and strict uncompromised preaching mood is concerned, myself sometimes feels a tinge of confusion as to what we should be necessarily following. I'm just reading as it is. The English isn't always grammatically correct. Either we should go with a mood of not to compromise as far as philosophy, principles, and instructions are concerned, or in case of preaching neophytes and in mood of compassion, if we are lenient at certain places, then is it all right? Well, it's not always that to be strong and uncompromised in preaching doesn't always mean that we have to heavy people out or speak to them in such a way that they get completely blown away. But it's also a misunderstanding that lenience is compassion. That to overlook people's misunderstandings, bad habits, and so on, that lenience is compassion. That's a misunderstanding. Rather, compassion is to act in a way that others may be benefited. That is compassion. So in some cases, it might be that someone is just not capable of accepting the instruction that they need to hear. And so you might overlook some faults. Srila Prabhupada overlooked so many faults of the people first coming in America to him. They didn't know how to properly behave with the Guru. They didn't know anything. But Srila Prabhupada, they were very much influenced by impersonalism. And Srila Prabhupada would preach every day about how impersonalism is bogus. And there did come one day when Prabhupada, they were going through the Bhagavad Gita with a commentary by Dr. Radhakrishnan, and Prabhupada said, just see what a rascal, how he's, this Dr. Radhakrishnan is misinterpreting. And then Keith, who was the leader of Prabhupada's, they weren't really followers at that time, he gave a whole long defense of impersonalism. Even though he'd been with Prabhupada for several months, he gave a long defense. He spoke for a long time about the unity of the one mind and quoting Shankara and Saint John of the Cross and all. He was quite learned in all kinds of bogus things. And Prabhupada said, have you finished? And then he went on some more. Prabhupada was just sitting there. And then again he said, have you finished? And and then Keith said, yes. And then Prabhupada, he smashed the table. It's to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says here to worship me. And this rascal says to the unborn. Prabhupada became furious. And they were all shocked. So, was that Prabhupada's compassion? That was Prabhupada's compassion. That he didn't tolerate. He tolerated their dealing with him in a very familiar way. He tolerated their not rising early. This was in the very early days of the movement. Later he didn't tolerate that. I mean, there wasn't even a movement at that time. He tolerated their coming in the same dirty clothes every day. He tolerated so many things, but he didn't tolerate their mayavad. And eventually, when he saw they weren't giving it up, even though he was lecturing to them on it day after day after day, he became very, very angry. And they were his only followers, and they might have just left him, and he'd be left with, after so many months, he'd be left with no one. But he wasn't prepared to tolerate that they be half followers and be mayavadis at the same time. So they had to choose. At that point they had to choose. Do they want to go on with their mayavad nonsense or follow Prabhupada? And it was a turning point. So that was Prabhupada's compassion. It's a complete misunderstanding to think that simply to smile and be nice at others is compassion. It's a serious misunderstanding. As Srila Prabhupada said to one woman, this was in Rishikesh in June or July of 1977. Prabhupada, there were so many people coming, including many Western followers of this Maharshi Mahesh Yogi of the so-called Transcendental Meditation, who was a stereotypical Mayavadi guru who has a long beard, holds a flower and smiles. So many of his followers were going to Prabhupada, and he sent a message to Prabhupada that, Swamiji, you're sick, I think you should rest and not speak so much. Because Prabhupada was apparently sick, but he was preaching very strongly every day. And one woman, she was actually an elderly, gentle woman, she said, well, shouldn't you be more compassionate? You're speaking so strongly. And Prabhupada came very strongly on her and said, your compassion is like blowing on boils. If you have a boil, who's had a boil? Farah? You've all had boils? It's supposed to be a Vaishnava disease. It says it comes if you have Vaishnava aparat. I've had many boils. So if you blow on it, there might be some temporary slight relief, but the real thing required is to lance it, which is painful, but that cures it. So it's a completely bogus idea that lenience is compassion. It might be, but in some cases it might be, but to think that someone who speaks the truth is not compassionate because people don't like it is a complete misunderstanding. Think about this one. Is there any better way of preaching the truth than preaching the truth? By not preaching the truth, can you preach the truth better than by preaching it? If you're just nice to people and smile at them, but you don't tell them the actual facts that you're in Maya, then how are they ever going to know? Of course, there may be ways of saying it in that they don't become upset, but most people don't like to hear this, so. You can distribute books also. That does the job. They get it from. It doesn't mean always that we have to try and convert everyone on the spot, but at the same time, we should know that just smiling at, you can smile at people for millions of lifetimes. Nothing's going to change. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is another common question. The followers of various bogus people, we approach them on book distribution. It's best not to get into any, don't criticize their guru, even if he's the most bogus person on earth. And all these bogus gurus looks like they're in a competition to see who's the most bogus. And they're all competing who's going to give Yamaraj the most trouble, along with their followers. So it's better not to say anything. Even on book distribution, you might even quote something they say, some of their followers. You might even say, well, I'm a follower of Sai Baba. You might even say, very nice. You might even say that. You might say that, although it may not be necessary. But the main thing is to get the book out. Distribute the book. Let Prabhupada do the preaching through his books. That's your job as a book distributor. It's just like in the West, you know, we meet so many people. We don't say to them, hey, look, you're eating meat, you're going to hell. You're smoking cigarettes, you're going to... We don't say that. We try to give them the book. In many cases, we give them the book and they're holding the book and smoking a cigarette at the same time. They don't know. In India, mostly Hindus, they wouldn't do that. But in the West, they don't know. But we do that. It's a risk for preaching. That if they get the book, they can be benefited. Yeah, what do you want to say?
To the same thing, we meet different people. Whereas for a country, we meet different people. We also, for instance,
How do you deal with people who are following some bogus line and they are they're also donating to you? Well, I'll give you a clue. Shatadanya Prabhu once told me in Calcutta, Garga Muni was the temple president there, Garga Muni Swami at the time, that Prabhupada saw Garga Muni flattering a life member. And Prabhupada said to Garga Muni, you flatter them before they become a life member. After that, you preach to them. Tell them the philosophy. So no, we shouldn't just go on flattering them. And it doesn't mean that you have to tell them outright that they're totally bogus. Because they're pious people, they want to do something good. In many cases, people who go to Sai Baba, Gayatri Pariva, Asharam Bapa, et al., etc. or et al., they're piously inclined, but they're misled. So, another policy of Prabhupada was not to attack the person, but their philosophy. So you may ask them, well, what does he teach? What's his philosophy? In many cases, they don't know, actually. These people who call themselves followers of this Baba, what do they teach? They ask them, well, I don't know. They don't know what they're teaching. In many cases, it seems they don't really have much teachings. Amma, what does she teach? Love. Just embrace. Is there any teaching? I don't know. Well, they have some. This art of living rascal, he just, whatever comes out of his mouth at the present time, it's just. He's a Mayavadi of sorts. Ashram Bapa must have some kind of teaching because he has this magazine, Rishi Prashad. That's very widespread. You see that? Many cases. I don't know what he teaches. He's another. But ask them what their teaching is. And if they say, I don't know, I say, well, you can say that. Well, our gurus, they teach us the philosophy of the Shastra and how to live practically in this world and make spiritual advancement. Maybe you should take this up more seriously. If you have a guru and you know what his teaching is, then what's the meaning? Guru means he's supposed to teach you. And if they do say what their teaching is, then you can start to counteract it and show its lackings. Okay, that's all for now. Hare Krishna.